Hello, Kelly. Did you get my message? Yeah, I just called. Our service is going to start at 11. It's an Easter service. Hi. Oh, I did see your message. Yeah, so I didn't know you were coming out. But I just wanted to give you the invite. Yeah, happy Easter.
Also.
Love you. I'll see you soon.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Oh, so good to have all of you here on the probably the most upbeat, positive, powerful service of the entire church year. And through our Lenten journey, we've come to our destination. Focus on the person and work of Jesus Christ all the way through, but now the triumph of the resurrection. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Father, through all our aches and pains, all the challenges before us, all the things that we need to take care of, responsibilities we have, concerns we have, burdens we carry, Lord, all of them we just fling to the cross and the empty tomb, Lord, and our focus, let it be all the more on You, dear Jesus, and your triumph in the resurrection of the empty tomb. So we give you this time. We thank you for it. In your precious name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Let's rise and sing together fervently. Jesus Christ is risen today.
Jesus Christ is risen today. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Alleluia! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia!
O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
For His steadfast love endures forever.
Let God's people say,
His steadfast love endures forever.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to Your unfailing love. According to Your great compassion, blot out my transgressions.
Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
Let us confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him, for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness.
Almighty God, merciful Father, we confess to You all our sins and failings. We sin daily and indeed deserve nothing but Your judgment. With broken hearts we turn to You, asking for mercy and forgiveness. In the name of our crucified and risen Lord,
Jesus Christ, amen. God has forgiven all your sins. Jesus Christ has taken our sin to the cross, and we have risen with Him to new life. As a servant of the Word, I declare to you the forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray.
Almighty God and Father, through Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, You have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we, who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection, may be raised from the death of sin by Your life-giving Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit,
one God, now and forever. Amen. You will notice that our first reading is taken from the Psalter, Psalm 16, and this is one of the most upbeat, and if those of you who've been through our Psalms class and going through the materials with the Psalms book, the W that this really focuses on is wealth, our riches in Almighty God, how He has blessed us. And my favorite passage is especially the last three verses. And all this is possible because of, yes, the death, but also the resurrection of our dear Lord. You'll also notice the classic passage. This is the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. We have a snippet of this chapter, which basically the Apostle Paul basically says, without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. He lays it on the line. Because our faith is based upon a person and work, but it's based upon a miracle. And without that reality, all you have is a bunch of piety. All you have is just a bunch of rules, moral rules, regulations, and empty fairy tales to believe in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Keep me safe, O God, for in You I take refuge. I said to the Lord, You are my Lord. Apart from You, I have no good thing. As to the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of these will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, You have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely, I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will You let Your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. This is the word of God, of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading, 1 Corinthians 15, 19 through 26. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death has come through man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God, Father, to God the Father, and he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You'll notice with today's gospel reading, which is the basis for today's message, there's a lot going on. And you know how upbeat and confident our beginning was in the service? Folks, this is the first Easter Sunday, and we've got anything but a lot of confidence going on. And you're going to see how that theme really plays out, especially with one particular word that stands out to characterize what's going on in today's passage. So, as we read through this together, try to picture yourself not as a person living in 21st century America, and at this moment, Newport, Oregon, but try as best you can to go back in time, almost 2,000 years, first century Palestine. And you don't know all that we know right now, but this is brand new. So, the Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Let us all rise and read together from the Holy Gospel of our Lord. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please remain standing as we join together in our great confession of faith.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, Very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated. Surprises?
Yeah, sure.
Well, most of us do when they're good surprises, right? For example, surprise, you're hired. Remember that? Or how about this one? It is true for the birthday boy back there, Jim. Surprise, happy birthday. Right? To Jim. We'll sing about it later, that's for sure. Or how about surprise, you won an all-expenses-paid vacation to the Caribbean. Woohoo! But you know what? We're not always getting good surprises our way. How about a bad surprise like this? Surprise, you're laid off. Surprise, you were going 22 miles over the speed limit. Sorry about that, officer. Or how about this one? Surprise. This is particularly relevant for the timing of the year. Surprise, you're being audited. Something to look forward to, huh? Well, yeah, there are good surprises, there are bad surprises, but there are also ones that we're not quite sure about, what we'll call neutral surprises, that can go something like this. Surprise.
Someone just called you from the past, and I can't remember who their name was or what they wanted. Or how about surprise? The boss says they're going to start making some changes around the office pretty soon. Not really sure. You know what? The whole element of surprise has a number of practical functions in daily life. And I got this from our article. If you get the notes, you can see where the article is documented a lot more information. I'm going to give you the gist of what they say, which I thought was really enlightening for me. Surprises can really help cause, encourage learning. And from that learning, even some inner change, some inner transformation. For example, bad surprises can have what effect? Shake us out of our complacency, out of our stupor, being stuck in a rut, sort of like an ice cold bucket of water thrown in the face. Yeah, bad surprises can have that function. But how about good surprises? Nice surprises. You know what? That can help. Getting a nice surprise can help us to be more pleasant, enjoy the company of others, especially when we get a nice surprise from someone they have a little bit more of a struggle getting along with. Can open our eyes to things. And even neutral surprises can just get us out of a routine, a rut, mundane. It can add variety to the spice of life through and through. Now, the key word, obviously, here today in today's reading, from my perspective, even though it's not used in the gospel text itself, is surprise. And we're going to see how this element of surprise, it runs through the entire text today. So let's dig in with today's gospel reading that's flooded with surprise. The first paragraph is surprise number one. And it's surprise, it's gone. And what we have before us, first day of the week, that's Sunday. This is the first Easter Sunday. We all know that. Very early in the morning, the Sabbath is over. So now you have, first thing in the morning, some women, they're identified later who they are, took spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. Now, the Jews did not practice embalming. This is purely a sentimental gesture for them to do this sort of thing, because bodies would decompose pretty quickly in the heat. And it's just a sentimental thing because they're beside themselves with the tragedy of Jesus' betrayal, arrest, beating, his suffering, and yes, his crucifixion. So they're beside themselves. Hopes are utterly dashed. And it couldn't get any worse for them. Or could it? Because as they explored, and what a shocker that the tomb is actually open, and they go in, and what does the text say happened in verse 3? When they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. Now, you and I know why the body of Jesus was not there. They were not privy to that. In fact, they thought this was a terrible disgrace. How do we know that? Because in verse 4 it says, while they were wondering about this. This is not an accurate translation by the New International Version. This word wondering gets across the idea of being not just uncertain, but greatly disturbed, perplexed. And the word gets across the idea that these gals were, if they were at a loss before, it's to the nth degree now. They're totally thrown off. So what kind of a surprise is this for these women going to the tomb to do some, you know, really unnecessary act of mercy, just something to do sentimentally? It's a bad surprise to see that Jesus' body has now somehow been desecrated. They don't know what happened for sure, but the shockeroo is, it's bad. And that is the clear intention of the biblical text. It's a negative surprise. It's terrible. Now we're going to see how this is going to jolt them. We'll also see another really bad surprise later on that's used as a real jolter. But let's move on to the next paragraph. With the ladies, and lo and behold, what does the text say? Two angels, clearly they're angels, appear before them, and now the gals are like really startled. They know they're angels for sure with the appearance and so forth. And they immediately do what? They hit the deck. They're laying prostrate before the angels, saying, as an act of just reverence and awe, of respect, they don't know what else to do. They're thrown off their game. But what do the angels say to these women? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? A gentle way of chiding them, saying, even your intentions really are purely sentimental. They're not logical. You notice guys have a tendency to be more logical, women more emotional, sentimental. This is why there were guy angels telling the girls this. I'm being a little smart alecky here, but you get the idea. And then they say this, he's not here. You've discovered that, but let me interpret. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, and so many other times when Jesus had predicted his own what? Betrayal, suffering, death, and resurrection, all the Gospels included. Luke, particularly here, we're in Luke's Gospel. The Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Now, the gals are thrown off. But this is not a super, and I've marked it in my text, the first verses 1 to 3 is a big sad face shockeroo. This one is a neutral surprise. Because there's an element of hope, an element of promise there, but they're still thrown off by everything going on, so they don't know exactly how to take it. Like that one comment we made before with a neutral one, boss says there are going to be some changes made around here. They're not sure how to take this information. There's a ray of hope, but then this is throwing me off still. Don't know how to digest it. Well, let's skip to verse 9. And the gals have had some time to digest this, and they came back to where many of the disciples were meeting earlier, before these gals took off early to go to the tomb, and they told all the events of what happened. And the text says to the 11, what happened to number 12? Well, remember the betrayal? He was a key ingredient in the betrayal, Judas Iscariot. And to all the others who were gathered. So you have the original, at least 11 of the 12 disciples there, but a number of other people gathering to build each other up, mutual comfort. Everybody's thrown off here. And the gals are just giving a point-by-point description of what's going on. And it's identified that Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and there were others who went together to the tomb. And they were telling this, especially to the apostles, to the disciples there, but everybody else was hearing. Now think about this. What are they expecting? They're expecting a big happy face, aren't they? Like, wow. Wow. That's sensational. Because they're ready. They're still not sure about what's going on, but here's what we're thinking, and this is what happened. And then what we run into are five of the most terrible words ever in all of Holy Scripture. Verse 11, but they did not believe. Five words, but they did not believe. In fact, it gets worse because all the what these gals were saying, everyone viewed as utter what? Nonsense. It's interesting that this word for nonsense can literally be used in reference to someone who is really ill and experiencing delusions. So they're saying, you gals are delusional. You're off the chart nutty. Now, that, my friends, is a big unhappy face surprise. How many times have you had this happen to you where you've got some really good news, at least from your perspective, you're feeling really good about it, and you share with someone or maybe a group of people, and they all look at you like you're a complete nut? Maybe even worse, they just ignore you and don't give a rip one way or the other. This is what's happening, and then some. Everybody is thrown off together. But this is another jolter right here with a very bad surprise. But it gets a little better. Take a look at our fifth paragraph here, verse 12. Peter, bless his heart, Mr. Put His Foot in His Mouth, Peter. We've been covering that quite a bit through Lent, especially last few days in particular, about Peter putting his foot in his mouth, particularly Monday, Thursday, and so on and so forth. We all know. And he's the leader, but and he's outspoken. But anyway, Peter, however, got up, started thinking about it. And look at this description. The text says he ran to the tomb. Now, that wasn't socially acceptable in that day, and it's harder in the dress they had, because, you know, underneath my alb, I've got regular pants and so on and so forth, like guys wear and so forth, but their standard attire was much more similar to the alb that I'm wearing. We've all seen that. And it's just improper for an adult to run in public. But Peter can't contain himself with the slim hope that, in fact, maybe what these gals were saying after all was true. So, he got there in record time. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. Obviously, the body's gone. He went away, wondering to himself what happened. Now, this is a different Greek word for wondering than what was used earlier in reference to the women who were totally perplexed and thrown off. But this one gets across the idea, a sense of marvel and amazement, where hope is building. The point being here, this is, I believe, a neutral surprise. It's definitely not a sad face, and we're not quite going to give a happy face here. Because he's still not sure. He's got more than even just a ray of hope now. But that could be so easily dashed. And if you go on reading the narrative, it sort of is. But we'll see. Gotta check it out and see. Because still, they don't know where the body is, right? But there is a ray of hope. That's why it could go either way with the neutral. Well, that's four surprises in today's text. There's a fifth one. Did you notice what verse I skipped over in the text? I wanted to save the best for last, because this is the happy face, great surprise. Not just a good surprise, this is a great surprise. Take a look back. In fact, let's read verse 8 out loud together. Here we go, verse 8. But they remembered his words. Folks, that's about as big a happy face surprise as we can get in the entire narrative. It's sandwiched between sad face, neutral, sad face, neutral, terrible shock, could work out, terrible shock, could work out, but smack dab in the middle is they remembered. The light went on in their minds and in their hearts, and that's why they took the risk to go back. And even though if they would have just logically thought about it, it does sound sort of crazy what they've experienced. A lot of people would think, ooh, what you guys been smoking here lately? What's going on? You guys are off your rockers. Have you been getting enough sleep? Have you been seeing your physiatrist enough and all these other things? But no. This is the happy face par excellence in the reading. Because they remembered, what does the text say? The words of Jesus. It took the angels to get them triggered to recall that, to wake them up from their external and internal stupor and disappointment and confusion. But they remembered, Jesus did, yes, he predicted that he would in fact be betrayed. I remember that, but I never got it, and I just sort of glanced over and said, I don't get it, let's move on to something else. Especially something more pleasant. But I do remember that. His predictions. And the words are starting to bring enlightenment and make some sense. All the way yet? No. But I'm telling you right now, not only would these women and even the initially unbelieving hearers, the 11 disciples and others with them, who said the gals were off their rockers, completely nutty, it was sheer nonsense, even they would come out of their stupor and they would remember the words of Jesus as well. But we're called not just to remember the words of Jesus, to be sure, but what else are we remembering? We are to remember not just Jesus' words, his teachings, and all the miracles he'd done his whole life, but we are called to remember his character. Who Jesus was as a person. The utmost integrity. And the more we learn and the more we discover is that Jesus' character is above all par excellence. The only perfect person who's lived on planet Earth ever. And why is that? Because he's the only person who is the 200% person. Fully God and fully man. The Holy Son of God, God the Son. That's the message of Easter. And for us, miracles are pretty hard to believe. For God, par for the course. Because we're talking about God, the living God, who's real, who lived among us. The only 200% person. 100% man, 100% God in the entire universe. But not only that, yes, we remember Jesus' words, his teachings. We remember who he is, his character, his person. But we also remember his work, his mission. And as I said before, yes, fully God, became fully God, fully man at the incarnation. And this 200% person, utterly remarkable, with all his wonderful teaching, all his wonderful actions, compassion for the people, you name it. But not only this, what was the ultimate destiny of his mission? It was, yes, to be born among us, to live, to minister, to help, to teach, to enlighten, to encourage, to pave the way. For what? For his substitutionary death on the cross and his bodily resurrection from the dead. Jesus came to totally blow our minds with the two greatest surprises in all of human history. Past, present, future. Number one is the worst surprise we could ever hear, the greatest tragedy, is that this Son of God, this 200% person, who is nothing but love incarnate for us, had to go on that cross when you and I should have gone on that cross instead to suffer the judgment of Almighty God. But He took our place. And it was tragic. You watch some of these movies, The Passion of the Christ and some of the others. It's heartrending to think about what Jesus went through. It hits us. It hurts us. This is the greatest tragedy ever perpetrated by the human race. And we've had more than our fair share, wouldn't you agree? I'm going to pray about one even later that just happened this morning. The worst tragedy in human history, the worst corruption, the worst political and religious manipulation ever, to convict and crucify an innocent man. Utterly tragic. No other tragedy comes close to that one. But guess what? God can take the worst tragedy ever perpetrated by the human race and turn it into the greatest triumph in human history with Easter Resurrection Sunday morning. Is that awesome or what? That's like the best, the biggest happy face. Make sense of the worst sad face. The best surprise makes sense of the worst surprise, at least initially. And I want to ask you a question. Is this the kind of God that you want to get to know and follow more nearly, dearly, and clearly? It is for me. With all my aches and pains and troubles, we've all got this, that, and the other thing. All those pale in comparison to the greatest surprise, the greatest gift ever. And this comes from a God who understands all the issues we have to deal with. All the bad surprises, all the neutral ones, all the good ones. He's with us through thick and thin, through it all. And He is there to constantly surprise us with the cross and empty tomb of His dear Son that has power for you and me to this very day and will be. Having that same power, that transformative power for all eternity.
Amen.
This is a God I want to get to know better. And I want to get to know myself better in Him with all my flaws, but see His transforming work. Let's pray. Dear God, we come to You and we can so easily connect with the women, the sentimental women, going to the tomb, to the tomb. We can connect with the skeptical disciples and others there. We can connect with Peter, who's sort of iffy, ray of hope, not knowing for sure what's going on. And then some, God, because we've been there. We're there ourselves. So oftentimes we doubt Your power. And Lord, when we doubt Your power, Your love, Your concern, Your peace that passes all understanding, the vivaciousness of having abundant life. Lord, when we doubt these things, when we feel empty and dry, please bring us back to the true greatest surprises of all time. That is our rock, our foundation, with the cross and the empty tomb. Lord, help us to remember, Jesus, Your words, Your character, and yes, Your mission, Your work for us. In Your precious name we thank You. Amen. Now, let us now give unto the Lord who loves us so much.
and for all people according to their needs.
Hear our prayers, dear Lord.
Dear Lord, thank you for hearing our prayers, for loving us. And through all our surprises, the really bad ones, the neutral ones, and the really good ones, that you are there with us. And that you are our rock, our foundation. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
We want to continue to pray for each of us here, as well as brothers and sisters who are on the road traveling. Continue to grant them traveling mercies. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
And we have so many other needs, Lord, that we can focus upon now, some of which are printed in our bulletin, but I'd like to focus upon the tragedy that has befallen the island country of Sri Lanka, that's south of India. Yes. And with these coordinated attacks, terrorist attacks, where over 215 people they've determined have been killed, who've been in churches and hotels, and Lord, well over 450 have been injured. God, we do pray for your loving, comforting arms. And I definitely, I know these spots because my wife Sue and I, and when we had two young kids, were there in Sri Lanka for a couple of years ministering to the people, and ask you to just restore and make sense of this through the power of the cross and the empty tomb. And Lord, we pray for the perpetrators that they be brought to justice, but through their repentance and the evil, that they're drawn to the cross and empty tomb, and are forgiven by your amazing grace as they repent for you. Thank you, dear God, in your precious name. Lord, in your mercy. In your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us now pray as our Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
He gave it to them, saying, take, drink. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, during this time, while the elders and I serve ourselves communion, we'll be singing to Jesus, who is the promised Lamb, the Lamb of God. And you'll notice that we close by singing of the Lamb who rose for us. So sing it from your hearts as you prepare to receive Holy Communion, and all are welcome to receive.
Body of our Lord Jesus, broken for you. Body of the precious Lamb of God, broken for you. The body of the Prince of Peace, broken for you. The body of our Good Shepherd, broken for you. The body of the Son of God, broken for you. The body of the Great Physician, broken for you. The body of the Holy Lamb of God, broken for you. The body of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, broken for you. The body of our precious Savior, broken for you.
One Christ shed for you. One Christ shed for you.
Well, we'll serve him later. We'll serve him later. It's okay.
We're going to bring it to you.
Oh, good. Sorry. Body of the Lamb of God, broken. Body of the Prince of Peace, broken for you. Body of the Shepherd, broken for you. The body of the Holy Son of God, broken for you. The body of our precious Lord and Savior, broken for you. The body of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, broken for you.
Lord of Christ, true for you.
Body of our Good Shepherd, broken for you.
Lord of Christ, true for you.
The body of the Holy Lamb of God, broken for you.
Lord of Christ, true for you.
The Prince of Peace, broken for you.
Blood of Christ, the shed for you.
Welcome, ladies, to the table of our Lord. Body of our Lord Jesus, broken for you. Body of the Holy Son of God, broken.
Blood of Christ, shed for you.
Body of Prince of Peace,
broken for you.
And Rome's grace departed his peace.
Lord, thank you. Lord Christ, check me in.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We do give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. 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 Let's rise and sing together verses 5 through 8 of I Know My Redeemer Lives.
To us.
Amen. You may be seated. So, looks like we have some visitors with us today. I don't know who you are, but could you please tell us who you are and where you're from?
My name is Dolores Anderson, and I'm from Tidewater, Oregon.
Yay, Dolores! So good, I haven't seen you. It's been so long. What a blessing!
Oh, wow.
Yeah, pick whatever color you like. And could you please tell us your name and where you're from?
My name's Christian. I live right here in Newport.
Great! Good to have you join us, Christian. Fantastic. We've got something for you. Now, I've seen you before. Yes, that's what I thought. Did you get a gift too?
And so,
all right. Well, great. So good to have you. Must have been okay. You're back, right? On Easter. Praise God for that. And really good to have you here with us, that's for sure. And good to see Denise as well. All right. Do we have other announcements we'd like to make?
Announcements. We have cookies and coffee in the fellowship hall afterwards if you'd like to stay. If anybody wishes to visit with the pastor or to schedule a visit with him in his office, call me a message on the phone and he'll get back to you. Next Sunday, we have our adult Sunday school class resumes. This week, we have an elder email meeting on Thursday at 9:30. Also this Thursday, we're going to have a fifth grade class from Bend, Oregon, spending the night here. They'll arrive later on Thursday and leave the next morning.
Okay, great. Good. Should have a fun experience there. Any other announcements we'd like?
I have a gift for everybody.
How nice.
Please tell me on your way out, please.
Great. Fantastic.
Right, go back there. You can get back there.
And another thing, too, I want to mention, we have some materials for us to grow in our faith, particularly in reference to the cross and the empty tomb. Some of these out, a little pamphlet, Did Jesus Rise from the Dead, which gives good solid reasons for fact why that is the case. Also, The Case for Easter. A few other books on Easter there as well, especially on the cross. The spirituality of the cross, as I mentioned on Monday, Thursday, to me is one of the most powerful books, devotionally uplifting books I've read. I encourage you, we have some of those left. And we have these Jesus Calling as well for the most popular in print 365-day devotional. So I encourage you, and if you know someone who could use it, feel free and take them, this one included, as well as what's out there. So help yourselves to that. They're absolutely free.
Is that the Timothy Keller?
That's not the Timothy Keller. This is the Sarah Young.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I just want to say one thing.
Fire away, John.
If you don't know, there's a lot of talented people in this church, but there's one in particular I'd like to point out, who is our resident handyman, repairman, who's always looking for good work, and will give you your money's worth, and that would be Jack Bear, sitting back here. If anybody needs him, and his color, here he is.
I need to start paying you guys.
I know. You should.
Happy
yeah.
Easter. Oh, wait.
John gets a cut of Jack's actions.
Yeah, right.
Don't forget the song.
The what?
The song for Jim Chick.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I said happy birthday already. Thank you. Here we go. Happy birthday to Jim in the back. Here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jim. Happy birthday to you.
Wow, how cool is that?